Good morning, everybody. How are you all? I don't know about you, but I'm missing meeting together as church so much. I can't wait for the time when we'll be able to get together again and open the Word and break bread together. But I just don't know when that's going to be yet. We have to be patient. We have to trust in God. But to that end, would you please continue to pray about this? That God would guide us in this process and that we would follow His direction, not running ahead or lagging behind. For this morning's message, you may remember that a couple of weeks ago we started a new series, a series in which we're going to think about who God is and how that it is in God that our hope is found. And if you remember back that far, we learnt some fundamental things about the faith. Things like God is the creator. That God exists. He's not a product of our imagination. He is real, and that he is the basis of our hope. Last time we looked at the hope we have in our creator God, our heavenly Father, the one who created everything. This morning, as we continue on this topic, I want us to look at one of the Psalms. It was really interesting that Margaret chose Psalm 9 at last Sunday. For today, we're going to look at Psalm 8 together. A psalm written by King David. A psalm written to proclaim the majesty of our Creator God. Even in the writing of this psalm, you can hear the excitement, the wonder, the amazement that David finds in all of the vast creation that is laid out before him. Everything we can see and everything we can't see too. In this psalm, Psalm 8, King David speaks of looking at everything that God has created in the heavens, in the sky and on the earth. And in that, David is amazed that in all of this vast creation of everything we can see and everything that we can't, God cares about individual people. Now, as you're well aware, I'm sure we normally use the New International Version for our readings from the Bible. But this morning we're going to read this psalm from the New Living Translation. For those of you who are using the written copy of this message, I've put both the NIV and NLT translations of this psalm at the top of the document for comparison. But if you are listening to this message online or from the church email, then maybe you could read the NIV translation, and then I'll read from the NLT, the New Living Translation, myself. So, here we go. Listen to the words of Psalm 8 now from the New Living Translation. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honour. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Now you may have noticed that King David begins and ends this psalm with the same statement. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. O Lord, our Lord. In Hebrew, David is actually using two different names for God. The first of these words is Yahweh, and the second is Adonai. In other words, O Yahweh, our Adonai, Your majestic name fills the earth. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about what these two words mean, these two names for God mean. Yahweh means the self-existent or eternal God. God who is, has always been, and always will be. So right at the start of this psalm, David is proclaiming that our God is God, and God is eternal. And the Hebrew root of the word Adonai is Adon, which describes the one who occupies the position of a master or lord over a slave or servant. When David addresses God as Adonai, he is expressing the truth that God is the one who is in control. God is his master, and David is the willing servant. So a more literal translation of the first and last verse of this psalm would be, O eternal God, our Lord and Master, your majestic name fills the earth. David is saying that he willingly surrenders control of his life to God. David declares that he follows the commandments of God and submits himself to God's will and his plans for his life. Now, as we've said before, we know that David wasn't a perfect human being. There were times when he stumbled, there were times when he got it wrong, times when he sinned, times when he chose his own desires and wants over what God wanted him to be doing, just like we all do. Yet David repented and returned to God. David was obedient to God. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the Apostle Paul writes about what God says about who David was. It says, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Now, you know, that little statement there got me wondering. I wonder, would God say that of me and you? Are we those who will do whatever God asks of us? In other words, when God says, do something, do we do it? Or do we just sit around hoping that we'll hear something different instead? Do we honestly live every day as servants of our Master, to our Creator, to our Lord? Now, I don't know about you, but I recognise that I have much still to learn about this. Indeed, if God was marking my report card, I wonder if what he might write would be room for improvement. How about you? You know, the reality is this. Many, many people will accept Jesus as Saviour. But if we want truly to be disciples of Christ, then we must also choose to follow him as Lord. We may call him Lord when we pray, but do we truly follow him as our Master? Yahweh is Lord of all things by his majesty and might, and Adonai is our Lord and Master if we willingly submit to him in a covenant relationship, a covenant sealed with the blood of his Son, Jesus. Now, if we look again at our psalm, Psalm 8 verse 3 says, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. And I wonder, have you ever sat and just looked up at the stars at night? I do this regularly, and I have to tell you, I love doing it. It does something deep inside me. I find it both incredibly humbling and amazingly awesome. Last weekend at about 2:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, when it was still really dark, I was sat outside just looking up at the stars. In that moment, I was lost in wonder at the depth of the Milky Way. And as I looked, I saw a satellite making its way across the sky. And that made me think about the ingenuity of mankind. Then, in almost the same breath, I saw the most incredible thing. As I looked up, a meteorite suddenly hit the Earth's atmosphere and exploded in a vivid green streak of fire across the sky. And again, I was filled with awe. But as I continued to look, as I saw the patterns of the stars in the sky, as I continued to see the depths of the heavens unfurling before my eyes, as I began to sense the infinite depth of the universe, I then began to see the amazing, the majestic, the glorious might of our Creator God. You know, long before David became king, he was a shepherd. Perhaps you can imagine him as a young man who, after a long day looking after sheep, sat looking up at the stars, seeing the glory and majesty of God in the night sky. And he's not the only one to have done this, of course. Many people have. You know, Abraham Lincoln, the president of America, is quoted as saying that when he looked up at the sky filled with stars, he felt he was looking at the face of God. But there's another quote of his that I really like. He said, "I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down at the ground and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say there is no God." Now, of course, the Bible tells us, teaches us, that everything begins with God. God was in the beginning. Now, actually, we generally tend to think of the beginning as being the beginning of creation when we were created. As ever, we seem to mark time from our own creation. But God has always been there. You see, God, who is our creator, is bigger than we can understand. God is eternal, and this is something that our finite human minds really struggle to comprehend. As we said last time, we expect things to have a beginning and an end. This incredible universe that God spoke into being from nothing is just amazing. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in between. Stars and insects, trees and galaxies, planets and animals, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, the very air that we breathe, and the vacuum of space. And he created us human beings too. It's no surprise that David gazed into the night sky and was amazed at what he could see with his own eyes. And as I thought about that, I thought, what words of wonder might David have written if he could have seen the night sky with a modern telescope? Yet David, using only his eyes, knew that God was far greater than he could ever imagine. And of course, there is far more out there than David could see. All those galaxies, all those stars and planets. But David knew everything was created by God, the work of God's hand. David knew God is creator. God is omnipotent. He is unlimited. God is mighty and God is powerful. And then in verse 4 of our psalm, David asks God, "What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? How can a God who has created everything, a creation so vast that even our most powerful telescopes today can't see the edges of it, How can God, who is described in Psalm 113 as stooping down to look at the heavens and the earth, how is God, who is so much bigger than all of his creation, able to care about David? And it's not just about King David either. Let's make it personal. In all this vast creation, in all of its diversity, in all of its beauty, in all of its vastness and beauty, why does God care about you and me? And the most amazing thing is the answer to this question. The creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, loves you. God loves you. You who are just a very small part of his creation, well, he knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. He has a plan for you. Now tell me, that isn't amazing? God loves you, and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. Without God, we would have no hope. Our days would be nothing, no order, no purpose, no existence. With God, we have hope, we have purpose, and we have a destiny that is ordained by God. And this is where it all comes together. In this we see that we have hope in our Creator God. God has created us. God has provided a way for us to be saved from the penalty of our sins by trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. When we repent and turn to Jesus, when we become his follower, his disciple, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside us. He empowers us and helps us to be the people God has created us to be. He helps us to be the people that God has saved us to be. To repeat again from the week before last, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is our creator too. Our creator, the great and majestic Yahweh Adonai, is your God and he is my God. You are his child and he loves you. This is more than just hope. It's a blessed assurance. If you are in Christ, you are his child. Be encouraged today. God knows you and loves you and has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for your life. Listen to verse 5 again. "Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honour." God has made us a little lower than himself. We're created in his image. God is our creator. Listen to the words of David from Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." There is real hope found here. Even in our mother's womb, God was with us. God is not distant. God is with us. God watches over us. God cares for us. God thinks about us. The God of the universe is with you. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, God is with you. You're valuable to him. To save you, he sent his only son to die that your sins could be forgiven. Jesus died the death we deserve so that we could have eternal life by repenting and turning to him. You are not an accident. You are created in the very image of God. You are handmade by God. Every detail of your DNA was crafted by the creator of the universe. He made you to be you. Your race, your skin color, the number of hairs on your head, the color of your eyes, even how tall you are. Everything that makes you who you are was decided by God as his great plan for you. Do you see? You are not insignificant. You are God's creation. You are unique. You are custom made. Your life has value. God cares for you. God created you, and he loves you. God has created us with a finite lifespan here on earth. But for everyone who trusts in Jesus as both Saviour and Lord, there is an eternal destiny that awaits, an eternity with God. We will see God in all of his glory and majesty and reign with him forever. If you ever feel small or insignificant, remember that you and your eternal destiny matter to God. I'll close with this. Today I hope that you, like me, have experienced something of the majesty and power of God as seen through the eyes of King David. I hope that in this you will have glimpsed just a little of the hope that David found in his Lord, in his Creator, in his God. Hope is found here in our Creator. For God creates, and our hope must be in him and in him alone. As we finish, let us pray that this might be a daily reality in our lives. Father God, I pray that each one of us would see that our hope is in you. And I pray that not just today, but every day, each one of us may be filled afresh with your hope. That each and every one of us might be filled afresh with love for our Creator, our Saviour, our loving and majestic God. Oh Lord, fill us afresh with hope and trust in you right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.